قصص موسى Allah talks about it so many times. Why? لِلْعِظَ وَالْعِبَرْ. So we can learn lessons from it. So we can learn and apply and avoid what they did wrong. Avoid what they did wrong and apply the thing that they meet or the thing that they met according to the book of Allah. قصت again موسى with Bani Israel and the Bani Israel يا إخوة. The people that we are afraid of them. The people that we always say they run America. They are everywhere. We should not talk about them. These cursed people, the first person who had hardship with them was their own Prophet Nabiullah Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Sometimes they would ask him a question, so they can test him. Sometimes they would play games with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Sometimes they would say they kill, or he killed his own brother Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. Do you know what they teach in their book, these people? You know what they teach? The Torah? What they call also protocols? They teach that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, شغله الشاغل. The only thing that he does is study the Torah and learn from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sits with the malaika and he goes over the Torah and he studied the Torah of the Yahud. And they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cries and weeps for what happened to the Yahud, to Bani Israel. And they said Allah create this man, create you and I, not because we are human beings. Indeed our souls are the souls of donkeys and monkeys and khanazir. The only reason that Allah created you and I with this shape, so we can suitable serving the Yahud in the human fashion. Otherwise, it would not be suitable for the Yahud to be served by monkeys and donkeys. This is what they teach. In their books, it's not something that they hide. This is what they teach. This is what they teach. And some of the ayat. You know, my wife was talking about a man who took a little child, grabbed from his mother, infant, and he smashed the child against the wall. And I said, it's normal to them. So why? Because they don't see us as a human being. As you may fight in your workplace and say, I have to keep my beer. I have to go for Salat al-Jum'ah. They also fight and because they consider this as act of worship. When they kill you, they think they're doing ibadah. When they slaughter Muslim, they consider ibadah. When they commit and rape Muslim women, that's a form of ibadah. So why would be upset with them? Why? Because they only practice their deen. Coming back to this, the first thing that we should do, ya ikhwa, we should prepare ourselves mentally to recite the book of Allah. The second adab, so we can learn and benefit from the book of Allah, is that we should recite in the state of purity. We should have wudu. We should have wudu. You should not recite in the state of janaba. قال علي رضي الله عنه كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ القرآن على كل حال إلا جنابة. He said رسول الله used to recite the Quran in every state except the state of جنابة. If you have no wudu, you can recite the book of Allah by heart or by holding the mushaf with the khilaf العلماء. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون, the ulama, they differ in this ayah. Group of them said, you cannot touch the book of Allah unless you are in a state of wudu. The second group said, no, this ayah pertains to the angels. في لوح المحفوظ. I'm sorry, this pertains to the لوح المحفوظ. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون هو الملائكة. والقول الراجح والله أعلم, that the person can read and hold the mushaf while he had, well, in not being in the state of wudu. But the best form that you read, you may read the book of Allah, is having wudu. The third thing, ya ikhwah, at the same time, it is highly recommended for the person to face the qibla. To face the qibla. And put some misk, some beautiful smell on you so you can recite, so the malaika be with you. The third thing, the third etiquette, that the ulama said that a person should recite the Qur'an slowly. Have you ever seen our ulama, our shiyukh, in the month of Ramadan? How they recite the Qur'an. You think they are in competition with other masajid? We recite as though enemy is chasing us. And we say, you have to finish the Qur'an by the 27th of the month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. And recite the Quran slowly with tartil. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the Quran with tartil. Every ayah he used to pause and stop. And he used to say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And he used to prolong the end of the ayah. And then he would stop. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and he would also prolong the other ayah. And he would not rush as though we're chasing someone so we can just finish that juz for the night. You know, when Abu Abd, Hadith Sahih Muslim, Hudayfa ibn Yaman, radiyallahu anhu, in Sahih Muslim, he said he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he met in his state, Rasulullah in his state of Salah. Rasulullah was praying. So he said, this is an excellent opportunity for me to join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sahaba, ya ikhwa, used to seek the blessing and the barakah praying with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Rasul passed away, the people after the Sahaba used to seek barakah in the Sahaba praying with them. But in this, Hudayfa ibn Yaman, he came and he find Rasulullah praying. So he joined the Salah. And now he's describing the Salah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recite the Fatiha. Slowly, not rushing. And when he finished, he approached Surah Al-Baqarah. قَالَ فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي. I say to myself, he's probably going to complete 100 ayah and then he will stop. Why? Because the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was read, أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ. Then he will stop. Then he will continue. And every ayah that is talking about Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stop, would pause, and would speak out, and he would ask Allah to grant him Jannah. And every ayah that is talking about Jahannam, he would stop and pause, and he would speak out, and he would ask Allah to protect him from hellfire. Now Hudayfa said, Rasulullah will not exceed 100 ayah in this situation. But Rasulullah, he exceeded 100 ayah. قَالَ حُذَيْفَ فَقُلْتُ. He would probably finish 200 ayah. He would not exceed that. But he also exceeded 200 and he finished Surah Al-Baqarah. قَالَ فَقُلْتُ فِي إِحْدَى رِوَايَةٍ. Now we can rest and go instead of ruku'. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taught Surah Al-Nisa. Surah Al-Nisa. And then he came back and he saw after he finished Surah Al-Nisa, Surah Ali Imran. Do you know how many juz, ya ikhwa? How many juz that he recited in one rak'ah? How many juz? Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, and Surah Al-Nisa. Subhanallah. Close to 9 juz. Surah Al-Nisa. And Surah Ali Imran and Ali Al-Baqarah. All that in one rak'ah. And he would stop and continue. And now he said, "Al-an," he said, "now I will rest." Then he went in state of ruku', the same amount of time that he stood for recitation. Just standing in state of ruku'. Can you take that? If the sheikh, if the imam, Salat al-Isha, reads Halataka Hadith al-Ghashi, it's like, subhanAllah, we have children to take care of. Our wives are waiting for us, you know. Surah al-Ghashiyah. And then he got up from the ruku', same amount of time. And he stood up, and he made dua, and he went to sujood for the same amount of time, for the same amount of time. One rak'ah. And some of the narration, other than the hadith, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud also prayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ بِأَمْرِ السُّءِ. He said, until that I thought that evil thoughts came to my mind. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I had evil thoughts in my heart. So the people said, what was the evil thought? He said, I desired to sit down while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing. This used to, for them, was a great sin. How could I sit down while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still standing? How could I? The respect that they have for Rasulullah. And Sahih al-Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was only 7 years old. 7 years old. And he wants to see his role model in action. He knows how he behaves at the masjid. He knows how he behaves with the people, but he doesn't know how he behaves when he's with his wife. He wants to learn, and he wants to know what does he do during the night. So he asked permission of Maymuna, his aunt, and he said, let me sleep the night, let me spend the night with you. And he stood up, and he came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he pretended that he's asleep. قَالَ فَحَادَثَ أَهْلَهُ. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started talking to his family. And then he lay down. And then he got up. فَقَالَ أَنَامَ الْغُلَامِ. Is the child asleep? She said, yes, but Abdullah ibn Abbas was not asleep. When Rasulullah said, Allahu Akbar, he wants to take the opportunity. And he got up. And he joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he joined from the left side. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to teach him a lesson in the fiqh, he took his right hand and he grabbed him from the back and he brought him next to him on his right hand side. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas, he thought about it, he said, how could I stand next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam side by side in front of Allah? So he backed off a little bit. He backed off a little bit. Not like we do sometimes when a brother's praying but with you, he is 5 feet behind you. No, he should be right next to you. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished, he said, why did you do that? He said, Ya Rasulullah, how can I stand next to you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he made dua, قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ فَقِهُ فِي الدِّينِ, the dua that we all know. And hadith Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhu, Abdullah Amr ibn As, he used to recite and finish the whole Quran. Not only him, Abdullah Amr ibn As, Uthman ibn Affan, and other companions used to finish the whole Quran one night. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent them and told them to recite the Quran and to finish the Quran every 3 days. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأه في أقل من ثلاثة من ثلاث لم يفقه. He said, whoever recited the Quran less than 3 days, he did not understand. If you want to finish the Quran, and we encourage our kids, and we say, subhanAllah, we're going to hold a party for you if you recite the Quran, if you finish the Quran, which is good. But we encourage the child to read the Quran, but we don't practice, we don't show him an example. And the funny thing, I was in Canada and I saw there was a masjid called Islamic Foundation, the biggest masjid, and mashallah, the parking lot was full. And the people were coming in and out of the masjid. And I said, yeah, subhanAllah, it must be a beautiful lecture. It must be one of the biggest ulama came in town. They said, no, this is a Bismillah party. I said, what is Bismillah party? We say Bismillah and we dance? What do we do Bismillah party? They say, no. We teach the child, and every the first time he opens the book and he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we hold a party for that child. MashaAllah. I said, the Sahaba used to memorize the whole Quran. No party, no balloons, no nothing, no music, no food. SubhanAllah. Bismillah. So I said, and when he finished, what should we do for that child? When the child is only Bismillah party, we're holding all this. When he finished, we should bring the Kaaba to eternal. SubhanAllah. That's the only way we can reward this child. Say Bismillah party. But that's wrong. We should encourage the child, but not like this. يقول صلى الله عليه من قرأه في أقل من ثلاث لم يفقه. He did not understand the book of Allah. صلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. The third adab, ya ikhwah, that when the person is reciting the book of Allah, should try to ponder and reflect and cry. And if you can't cry, pretend that you're crying. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he recites the book of Allah, when he recites the Quran, he used to weep and cry. The Sahaba, when they used to recite the book of Allah, they used to weep and cry. Why should we not weep and cry? Why? Why not? It is because our hearts are made of stone, or we have no respect for the Quran, or we don't understand it. In Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sick, and he said, Muru Abu Bakr fal Abu Bakr fal yusalliya bin nas, or Abu Bakr, let him pray, let him lead the salah. Qalat Aisha, Umar ya Rasulullah. She said, but Umar, let Umar lead the salah. Qala Muru Abu Bakr fal yusalliya bin nas. And the only reason that she did not want Abu Bakr to lead the salah, قالت كان رجل بكاء. He used to cry in the salah. He would not finish Surah Al-Fatiha before he started crying. SubhanAllah. And sometimes, wallahi, from the first day of Ramadan, starting from Al-Fatiha, تقول أعوذ برب الناس, and our eyes is still dry. Still dry. He said, مُرُوا أَبَا بَكْرَ فَلِيصَلِّيَ بِالنَّاسِ. She said, أَبَا بَكْرَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عُمَرْ قَالَ إِنَّ كُنَّ صَوَاحِبُ يُوسُفِ. إِنَّ كُنَّ صَوَاحِبُ يُوسُفِ. It means women, they trick all the time. He said, you are from the people of Yusuf. The women, that's the same women that tricked Yusuf. مُرُوا أَبَا بَكْرَ فَلِيصَلِّيَ بِالنَّاسِ. مُرُوا أَبَا بَكْرَ. And when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث عبد الله بن مسعود, and he said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Iqra. He said, read the Quran to me. Qala alayka aqra alayka wa alayka unzil. He said, shall I recite the Quran to you? And Allah has revealed it to you. Qala inni uhibbu an asma'a min ghayr. He said, I would love to hear the Quran from other people. And when he recited Surah An-Nisa, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala hasbuk. He said, stop. قال فنظرت فإذا عيناه تدريفان. And I looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the tears are rolling and dropping from his eyes. So we should try to recite and to reflect and to cry when the Quran is being recited. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتلوا القرآن وابكوا فَإِن لَمْ تَبْكُوا فَتَبَاكَوْا. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recite the Quran and cry. If you cannot cry, then force yourself to cry. Force yourself to cry. هذا حديث رواه ابن ماجه. He said, force yourself. And ya ikhwa, the dumu', the eyes that comes from our eyes, or the tears that come from our eyes, You can train that eye. You can train and make it cry. Like when you train your muscles by lifting weights, you can also train your eyes to drop tears. And make sure that you cry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for the sake of other people. And one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah, that the masajid will be packed, and the people will build beautiful masajid, and there will be no one in that masjid has khushu'. Will be no one who will be crying in that masjid, subhanallah. And the same masjid in Toronto, and I'm not saying the people who were not crying did not have taqwa, but the masjid was packed. And the sheikh was reciting the Quran, and I joined the jama'ah, and out of everyone, there was only one person crying. I mean, you're talking about over 3,000 people. One person. And he was standing two or three people away from me. And I said, subhanAllah, I would like to see that person who's crying, is really crying. And he was trying to control his tears, and trying to control himself. When the salah finished, I was eager to know who's this person. فَإِذَا بِعَبْدَاللَّهِ عَبْدَاللَّهِ إِدْرِيسِ. You may know Abdullah Idris, the Sudani brothers, one of the shiukh, subhanAllah. He has a beautiful heart. Allah subhanahu wa anzaki ala Allahi ahad. I mean, out of 3,000 people, the only one that I knew he was crying was that man. Then I remember the hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the people will beautify in masajid, and there will be no khushu' among, or no khashi' among these people in that masjid. So here, hadith Rawah ibn Majah, wa hadith Hassan, inshaAllah, يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتل القرآن وتباكوا وابكوا. Recite the Quran and cry. Recite the Quran and cry. And if you cannot cry, force yourself to cry. And this is the same statement that Abu Bakr Siddiq used to make or used to say to the companion. The fourth adab is you beautify your voice reciting the Book of Allah. Beautify your voice much as you can. I know some of us are not gifted, not talented, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not bless them with a beautiful voice, but we should try as much as we can. As much as we can. Why? Because this is an ibadah. You're pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every letter that you recite, you're getting 10 rewards for that letter. But when you beautify your voice, and you apply the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're getting more and more rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما رواه الإمام أحمد زينوا القرآن بأصواتكم. He said, beautify the Quran with your voices. Beautify the Quran by your voices. Make sure that if you have beautiful voice, don't use for singing and other things. Use for the recitation of Allah. Most of you hear the Qari Sa'd al-Ghamidi Hafidhahullah. I have never seen any Qari like Sa'd al-Ghamidi. He's a very humble person, very 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 short, very quiet, well, mashallah brother, very nice brother. But he used his voice for the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, if that man walked from that masjid and he goes to any of this tawaghit, they would pay him so much to sing. But he used our voice to beautify the Book of Allah, to recite the Quran, fi sabilillah. Subhanallah, if inshaAllah, if you ever meet that brother, you will love him. You will love him because he will greet you with a beautiful smile that you can ever see. Barakallahu ala Allahi ahad. And he will make you feel that he knows you from day one. And he's so warm that you don't want to leave his presence. Subhanallah. Inshallah, one day we would meet him, inshallah. وَيَقُولُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّى بِالْقُرْآنِ. لَيْسَ مِنَّا, he says, he is not one of us who does not make his voice beautiful with the Qur'an, with the recitation of the Qur'an. Now here, لَيْسَ مِنَّا, he's telling you, you're not one of us if you don't do this. That doesn't mean you are kafir or you're not from the ummah, but it simply means you're not on the manhaj of Nubuwwah sallallahu alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if you don't beautify your Quran, your recitation when you're reciting the Book of Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it has been permitted for you to beautify your voices only in the Quran. The fifth thing, ya ikhwa, that the Muslim should do, that when you're reciting Quran, you should recite loud. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الجاهر بالقرآن كالجاهر بالصدقة. If you want to recite it loud when the people can hear you, it's also acceptable. It's as the person who gives his charity in sadaqah openly. If you recite the Quran also secretly, it is as a person who gives the sadaqah secretly, insha'Allah. So both of them are good, insha'Allah. The sixth point that we also should go by, and inshallah will be the last, we will start here because out of time, we were running out of time. The Sheikh said, and a person should recite the Quran while thinking about it, pondering over it, over its meaning, with respect of, you should respect the Book of Allah, and as we mentioned, and you should do not recite with empty heart, do not recite not being aware of what you're reciting. Otherwise, the Quran will curse you, كما قال ألا لعنة الله على الظالمين, because indeed you did wrong yourself by not following the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله سبحانه وتعالى أعلم. وقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين. سبحانه وتعالى بالعزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. The brother said, if you have questions, don't ask me. No, subhanAllah. The brother said, if you have questions, inshallah, ask. Inshallah, if we know, we will entertain. Otherwise, ilmuha inda Allah. Jazakum Allah khair. Some people do, and they follow the same this hadith, and they say whatever you're reading Quran, whether it's a halaqah or you're reciting the Quran from the book, or you're giving a khutbah and then you come across an ayah, in all cases you should beautify your voice in the recitation of the Quran, not the khutbah. Sometimes we in the dua we beautify our voice in the dua, but not anything but the Quran. So the person should try that in the Quran. And the other people should listen. And كما قال قتادة, he said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قال, فَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا, when the Quran has been recited, listen attentively to it. They said, هذا, in this case, that's in Salah and during the khutbah. Two times that you should listen to the Quran, and you should listen to the Quran only is the time when you recite, the time of the Salah and the time of the Khutbah. What about other cases? If the brothers open the book and he start reciting the Quran loud, should we all stop and listen to the brother? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا خِلَافَ بَيْنَ الْعُلَمَاء. They have a different opinion. One of the ulama, or some of the ulama, they believe whatever the Quran has been recited, you should stop whatever you're doing and listen to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other ulama, they believe that it's only in the case of salah, like qatada or ghayru, and in case of khutbah. This is the only two times that you must listen. It becomes must for you to listen. Otherwise, if a brother opens a mushaf and he starts reciting law, and you're doing something else, you do that, but it's not fard for you. It is highly recommended and better for you to listen to it. But if you have something, then you may accomplish that thing and not stop. Wallahu a'lam. But I think maybe the second opinion, it is more acceptable, because otherwise, if one person sits and recites the Quran, then everyone else in the masjid should also stop reciting the Quran. If a person recites the Quran and we're working, then we should stop
working and will listen to the Quran. And the khilaf also, the khilaf when if the person reciting the Quran and then ayat sajda came by, should I, I'm talking about the second of it, should I make sujood also, or should the sujood only be the person who was listening and the person who was reciting? Let us assume Brother Rayhan is in that corner fixing that wall, or it's like that brother painting the wall, and the brother he recited the ayah in Surah Al-Najm, last ayah, and we all made sujood. Should he also have to make sujood, or is sufficient for us? The ulama rahimahullah, there are also different opinion, but the most important, I think the most closest one, is not wajib. It is highly recommended, it is not wajib. And that's why when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the minbar, hadith Anas, and he came down from the minbar, was reciting Surah Al-Najm, he came down from the minbar and he made sujood. The following Friday, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm sorry, Surah Al-Saf, it was not Surah Al-Najm, Surah Al-Saf, and the following Friday, he came and he recited the same ayah, and then the Sahaba started preparing themselves for the sujood, and then he said, it is not wajib on you to make sujood. إِنَّمَا هُوَ شُكْرَ عَبْدٍ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ. It is only a method or a form of thankfulness of one of the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in different narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think Hadith Jabir, if I'm not mistaken, title Surah Al-Najm was recited and he did not make sujood sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he was listening. So it is not wajib for us to make sujood all the time. Wallahu a'lam. Naam. Tajweel al-sawt fil adhan wa du'a, to purify your voice in the case of adhan, in the case of al-du'a. From the athar that we have, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, he entered one of the masajid and the man was purifying his voice, and then Abdullah ibn Umar, he left the masjid after the salah and he said, I cannot be with this mubtadi'. He's talking about the muazzin who's purifying his voice, and he said, I cannot be with this mubtadi', and he left. And also in different narration, and the muazzin came to him and he said to him, إِنِّي أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ, I love you for the sake of Allah. And Abdullah ibn Umar said, وَإِنِّي أَبْغَضُكَ, and I hate you for the sake of Allah. He said, you beautify your voice, the adhan, in the adhan. So from the athar that we have, it is not from the sunnah of the early people to beautify the adhan, or not like they do in a movie, that Bilal radiallahu anhu at the beginning, as though he was just a beginning of his stage, and at the end of Islam he had a beautiful voice. No, he was not like that, but he used to break the adhan normally and with no tajammul that today we have here. And the other thing is the dua also likewise. We, as far as I know, and I know that much, actually I know a drop of this deen, I don't know any evidence that allows a person to beautify a dua, or to beautify his voice in the time of dua. It is haram, I cannot say it's haram, but I don't have any evidence saying that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the people after the Rasul, the early, the two generation did that. Wallahu a'lam. سبحانه رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على الحمد لله رب العالمين.